Welcome to Holistic Matters, the podcast that's designed to help you become the you that nature intended. We're recording live today and for the next couple of days from the Florida Chiropractic Association's annual convention. It's called the National in Orlando, Florida. Over 2,500 chiropractic physicians are attending. It's a great place to meet thought leaders, key influencers, practitioners, clinical leaders, and technology leaders in the field of chiropractic. And we're lucky to have this afternoon the CEO of Chiropractic Economics, probably the major magazine in the chiropractic community, Nick Doyle.
Thank you for having
Nick
me,
Nick is CEO of the magazine, the organization. So thanks very much for joining us. I was anxious to be able to talk to you. You guys do not only have a great magazine, but do a fair amount of trend analysis and reports for the profession. But before we go there, how about if we start a little bit with your background, a little family history, and how you got in the publishing business?
Sure, yeah. So my family has always had an interest in alternative and holistic care. So ever since I've been young, I've been exposed to the chiropractic industry and what we would call alternative medicine.
Yeah.
My background specifically is in web analytics and e-commerce solutions. So I actually worked with IBM Global Business Services out of Hong Kong for a number of years before coming back and joining the family business, if you will, of chiropractic economics.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit, that's really intriguing, right? So kind of the digitization of healthcare and the difference between e-commerce and digital healthcare platforms is really growing in general. But tell us about what you learn and what you see as that trend.
Sure. Yeah, it's a great question. And chiropractic's a really good example of that. So obviously we do have a print publication, and the print publication is very strong. We're lucky in that we're in a tactile market. You know, doctors of chiropractic use their hands. So it is very important still for them to get the physical publication.
Right.
But we have seen more and more people move to, you know, the digital consumption of media. So email marketing and email consumption is obviously on the rise. Social media consumption is on the rise. We have found that it's really pivotal for those that are looking to get a message out to the doctor of chiropractic to be getting exposure across all of those channels.
Right. Yeah. Fantastic. So are you seeing a lot of, I'm going to say, conversion of practices into like social media platforms? Is everybody online now, or there's still a lot more that have to get there?
It is a great question. It's a great point. You need to be online if you aren't, especially if you are attempting to attract the younger patient.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of practices that have established followings, which is wonderful. But if you're looking to grow, if you're looking to generate those leads that are going to lead to hopefully more people coming through your practice, an online presence matched with that social media and email capabilities, they're pretty vital.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you think the biggest challenge is for the average chiropractic office to be able to grow, to get started, and to be influential in their community?
Yeah, sure. I don't know that I could speak to it in general, but I could probably speak to the digitization piece.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people get intimidated by the move to a digital presence, or how am I going to portray my business, my office, my life's work online.
Right.
You know, it's very different when someone is able to come in and speak to me one-on-one. I can you know, get across what it is I'm trying to accomplish. Yeah. But, you know, distilling that mission into a website can be a difficult thing.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people hesitate to even get started because of that. But there are a lot of great vendors out there who can help either construct the website or write the content, help you manage that social media presence in order to be able to make sure that the message you're trying to get across, really what it is that you do, what makes you different as a practitioner, comes through in that digital presence.
So do you think there's a kind of a secret in making sure that, say, the content that's available online is appealing to a consumer or a patient who's actually trolling and looking for a doctor? And how does that differ with a patient who's already part of a practice and you want to keep them engaged in your practice?
Yeah, sure. I think there's two aspects to the first. The one is you have to make sure everything's authentic.
Yeah.
You know, you have to make sure that you're not using that stock content that comes with the WordPress theme, or you're not just taking basically a template that somebody else has used before and just regurgitating that for your local community. You really got to take the time to, you know, to put some thought into it in order to make sure that it really does feel unique. It feels like yours. The second piece is the structure of the actual web property itself. So, you know, a lot of people are browsing or searching on their mobile device, a lot of people using tablets these days. So it's really important to make sure not only the site is indexed, it can be found in the search engines, but also that it's formatted in such a way that's going to make an experience across devices, across devices, what it needs to be. From a retention standpoint, there are a lot of marketing automation tools out there that can help in regards to sending newsletters to patients or reminding patients about upcoming appointments. There are a lot of services out there that can help from a social media aspect. But once again, being authentic in those channels is really the differentiator.
Let's talk a little bit, if we can, about the state of chiropractic in the United States. Patients and consumers in general are looking for that connectivity with their healthcare provider. They want to be partners with the healthcare provider, and it's kind of a unique strength of the chiropractic community. But what trends are you seeing? Why are patients coming to a chiropractor? What are their expectations? And some of the research that you guys have done in your annual reports, it's always a powerful report that we look forward to.
Oh, well, thank you.
But can you tease out some of these kind of relevant practice issues and questions and answers?
Sure, definitely. From a global perspective, I think we're at a really exciting time in chiropractic. And the reason being is that we see more and more an average consumer interest in holistic care. You know, for the first time in probably what I would call, you know, modern history, 40, 50 years, people are moving back to a holistic first approach. They're moving away from the opioids. We see, obviously, the opioid crisis has driven people in that direction as well, which is really exciting. You know, you see the rise of preventative measures such as yoga or a regular chiropractic routine. So I think from a global perspective, the trends are headed in the right direction for the growth of the industry, which is super exciting. Within the industry itself, we are seeing kind of more digitization, if you will. We are seeing even more hunger or interest in research, you know, white paper-based materials, empirical industry research around what's working, what's not working, that kind of thing. People are moving more and more in the evidence-based care direction within holistic care, which is a really exciting trend.
In some of your reports recently, you know, you give a breakdown of areas of specialization. For example, you know, the number of chiropractic clinics that are interested in sports. And surprising to me, that number always strikes me as being lower than it ought to be. I think it hovers right around maybe 50%, if I'm not mistaken. But you think that would be larger as an example. And then some other ones that are kind of becoming more, physical therapy in nature in their clinics, those kinds of tools, and sport massage or massage in general. But to tell us a little bit about those areas of specialization that you think have major trends or ought to have larger trends.
Once again, starting globally, the integrated approach is becoming more and more popular. And I think that's really only going to serve the doctor of chiropractic. Really do. I think having that MT, that PT, that MD in some instances integrated into the chiropractic clinic is only going to enable them to treat, if you will, the whole body and the whole symptom, so that it's not, you know, we're not just treating the symptom. We can get to the root of the problem. Sports chiropractic went through I would call a rise probably about a year ago. You know, a lot of content coming out about it, a lot of emphasis on it. We've seen it wane a little bit, but I think it is definitely kind of here to stay. I think the global approach to holistic care and the adoption that's coming is what's leading to people being interested in the specialization of doctors of chiropractic. You know, I'm now open to chiropractic, so I need to find that clinic that has a sports focus, that has a nutrition focus, that has that MT on staff, et cetera.
Is there a set of skills and services that from the research that you guys do would recommend that chiropractic offices consider? Like, what would be the two or three things that you gotta really take advantage of the trends and do X as
a
service?
Yeah, that's a great question. I you know, to go back to the integrated approach, I really do feel like sometimes the doctor of chiropractic can be guilty of thinking that, you know, the adjustment is the key. And it is the cornerstone. I don't mean that it's not the key. It is the cornerstone of any healthy practice. But I really do feel that by adding nutrition, by adding an MT into the practice, by adding the ability to make a custom orthotic or refer a custom orthotic, by maybe incorporating laser or some of the other technologies, you're just going to broaden the scope of your capabilities and your ability to treat the various ailments that a patient may have. So as far as what I think would be the best move for a doctor of chiropractic as we enter 2020 and the end of 2019, I think it would be, if they haven't already, opening up to those alternative means of care.
Yeah. So expanding their scope of practice,
yes.
Really,
right.
But still within the umbrella scope of chiropractic.
Correct. Yeah, yeah. Chiropractic being the cornerstone.
Right. Awesome. Yeah. So one of the trends that we've also noticed is the number of annual visits by a patient to a chiropractor's office. You know, I don't remember like how long ago, but say 10 years ago, the average number of patient visits was about 25 per year. Mm-hmm. And the last number that I saw, and it's been, I admit, about maybe 2 years ago, was like 14. Mm-hmm. Are you seeing that trend? Is that still a trend that you guys are picking up, or?
It kind of really depends on the metric. I mean, it really does. You know, we would encourage every doctor to put in place what I mentioned before, which is these retention efforts in order to keep the patient. And I really do that. It feel that if the doctors can get some of this local marketing underway from an email or social media aspect, it's quite a time to be able to capitalize on getting more patients into the clinic.
Right, right. Just in the previous podcast, we spoke to the executive director of the World Federation of Chiropractic Care, and we asked him how many licensed chiropractors are there in the United States. And so his best estimate, he said it's very difficult to get numbers, was about 70,000. Mm. What number would you estimate?
I don't think that's far off. Yeah. I really don't. What's challenging about that is there are, you know, a number of doctors of chiropractic that have multiple licenses across multiple states.
Yeah.
So we go every single year to every single state licensing board and work with them in order to get the names of the doctors of chiropractic. Uh-huh. And we do that so that we can put those obviously into circulation of the publication so that they can get the latest news, the latest trends, put those into our social media algorithms so that they can begin to get exposed to the digital side. And then same thing with the emails, you know, use the emails in order to get the content out to them.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's far off. I think that's probably ballpark in the range.
Yeah. What's the dynamic? Are you seeing the dynamic of, you know, years that a practitioner has been in practice? So, you know, what is that practitioner who's out at 0 to 5 years, you know, 5 to, let's say, 10, and then 10 to 20, and maybe 20 and longer? Are you seeing earlier adaptation to, say, this more holistic, multiple therapeutic services that are providing the younger? Or does it take a practitioner 5 years to get out till they feel confident they're ready to expand their services?
I think the interest is there day one. I'm not sure that the ability from a scope of practice standpoint or from a financial standpoint in a lot of cases is there day one.
Right.
We do see that the more experienced doctors are the ones adopting the more integrative approach. And it's usually because they've had a patient come to them who they haven't been able to, you know, solve, or at least solve to the degree they would like to, whatever is ailing that patient. So they've gone in search of the solution that might be able to help.
Right.
And that's usually when they find these alternative means of treatment that they begin to incorporate.
Right. Awesome. So, you know, knowing all the things that you guys find and can be read in the magazine, particularly for students that are in chiropractic colleges, and any advice to those guys on how to become better prepared and start thinking about kind of your launch when you get out?
Definitely. It's a great question. And we do poll, you know, both doctors of chiropractic about what they wish they had in school, and, you know, as well as work with the students. And this is going to sound self-serving. I don't mean it to be, because the mission of the magazine is building better practices. You know, it's the business side.
Right.
They get a fantastic education around the mechanics of chiropractic and are trained so well in what they want to do. They want to help people. They want to heal people. But if based upon the data we've seen, the one thing that they could focus a little bit more on, either themselves as a student, would be the business side of things.
Yeah.
You know, what type of practice do you want to enter when you leave school?
Right.
If you want to start a practice, what are the 3 or 4 things I really need to brush up on from a business standpoint?
Right.
How to sign a lease? You know, what loan architecture needs to look like to get that seed funding?
Right.
Do I want to enter a private practice that, you know, has one doc in it and maybe eventually, you know, take over that practice, or do I want to go work with a chain?
Yeah.
So it's kind of thinking about, you know, what that first 1 to 5 years of their career is going to look like, and then taking the steps while they're in school in order to build out the skill set around that.
Ah, cool. So are there enough kind of business courses that are offered in chiropractic colleges, or once they get out, are there enough say, continuing education programs in business and practice management that are available?
I think there are. Yeah. I think the answer is there are, with a caveat. I think there are, but I'm not sure that, you know, just like when all of us were in school, the student understands how important they're going to be.
Right.
So, I think they do get business 101, 102, if you will, but they're more focused on why they went to school, which is to learn how to heal.
Right.
And they really need to understand that that business side of it is just as integral, because in order to heal, you have to, remain
right,
open. You
right,
have to remain
right,
in business.
Right. So it must be like an incredible challenge for particularly the new graduate. So they've probably been encumbered with a fair amount of debt. So what's their best option? To go into a practice, learn as much as they can for 3 to 5 years, and then save some money and get a loan and build their own practice? Or, what's that sequence of events?
I honestly wish I had the playbook. I really do. If I had it, I'd bring it. But I do think it's person by person. We have seen very successful graduates right out of school take that loan, get the right structure, build a thriving practice in a community, and head that route. We've seen people who have been very successful entering the more franchise-type model, and then in 5 to 10 years starting a practice.
Yeah.
We've seen people who just enjoy practicing and really don't want to deal with the business
side.
Right. So I think you really got to do a little soul-searching around, what it is you want to accomplish.
Great. So I got to ask you, a two-part question, though. It's like, what excites you about the future of chiropractic practices in particular,
sure,
right? And what scares you the most?
Yeah, sure.
Or scares you for the practitioners trying to run a successful clinic?
Yeah, sure. It's a great question. I think the first part, what's most exciting, is that on a macro level, especially in the United States, and the opioid crisis has helped to hasten this, people are moving towards holistic care more and more.
Right.
And that is great for the profession, and honestly, it's great for the world in general.
Right.
It really is. The prescription drug should not be the default.
Right.
We should attempt a natural solution first. And it seems so obvious, but it's not. So I think that's very exciting. What do I think that the headwinds are? I think the headwinds are most likely the lack of understanding to the doctor in school, to your point, around the business side of things.
Yeah.
I really do think, and we are getting a little bit better with this, in that the new graduates that are coming out are digitally native individuals. So they know how to go online. They know how to find the free resources that are available.
Right.
They know how to seek out that help, as opposed to, those who are a little bit farther along in their career. But if you do want to start a practice, if you do want to come right out of school and be a business owner, you really have to know what that means and know what that entails and gain the knowledge in order to do that.
In other professions, there's a fair amount of consolidation going on. Like the dentist profession, dental industry, if you will, is kind of at an all-time high of consolidation activity. Mm-hmm. Are you seeing the same thing starting to happen, or do you expect that to begin to happen?
We really haven't, which is interesting. And it's interesting you bring that point up, because our recent salary and expense survey, we thought we were going to see that, and we haven't. You see it in PT, you see it in OT, and you've really begun to see it in dental, but no, not yet in chiropractic.
Yeah, interesting. So you just mentioned, I meant to ask you that earlier, so what is the average economic profile of both a practice and salaries now?
Quite honestly, it varies so much. Yeah. I would just have to refer you to the survey.
And
the reason is because by region it varies, by median age it varies. Right. It's really dependent on the individual.
Is that report available?
It is.
Or is it coming out?
It's online. It's
online now.
Chiroego.com.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Fantastic. So we want to make sure that everybody goes to Chiropractic Economics. Is it .com?
Yep, chiroeco.com.
Chiroeco.com.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, this has been Holistic Matters Podcast. We're at the Florida Chiropractic Association annual meeting with the CEO of Chiropractic Economics, Nick Doyle. Thanks very much for a really insightful discussion, and keep up the great insights and kind of help us all grow.
Of course. Thanks, John. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Nick.
This podcast features the song New Day by Lee Rosevere, licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution License. If you liked this podcast, please share with your friends and family, and don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. We'll see you next time on Holistic Matters, where we are talking about how to be the you nature intended.